Okay, we're getting it. Sorry, y'all.
We got all the ninth bid. All the ninth bid is about to be here.
Says. The Chamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they went Chamushim. What does the word Chamushim mean? Rashi has two pshatim. Rashi says one pshat Chamushim is that Klal Yisrael left armed. Another pshat in Chamushim is that only 1/5 of Klal Yisrael came out. 4/5 died in the days of darkness. The Targum Yonason has a fascinating pshat in what the word of Chamushim means. Targum Yonason writes, the Chol Chad, everybody left Mitzrayim, im Chamsha Taflin. The word Chamushim is from the word Chamisha, 5, that everybody left with 5 children. A very strange pshat. What does this mean, that everybody left with 5 children? If they had 6 children at a time, Shisha Pekeres Echad, how come that they left with 5 children? And the Targum Rishalmi is another pshat. Targum Rishalmi writes they left, Chamushim means with Mezainin Bo'evedah Tova, armed with good deeds. So we have many different pshatim, would seem, all different ways of understanding. But you could tie all the ways into one pshat. Sefer Berioses is a very beautiful pshat. He says, and this will tie in, truth is, to what the Chofetz Chaim writes. The Chofetz Chaim brings, it says in Tanit Vel Yoel, Kishoy Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael were Mitzrayim, Niskapsu Kulam, all of Klal Yisrael gathered together, V'yashfu Yachad. Mishum Shoy Kulam b'Agudah Achas, since they were together, the Koros Bris Yachad, they made a treaty. What was the treaty? Sheyasekim Les Chesed Zeh Emzeh, to do Chesed with each other. And the Chofetz Chaim asks, what's this special treaty to do Chesed with each other? So he explains, Klal Yisrael realized that it's over. We're in a very difficult situation now, and there's no hope at all. The only thing we can do now is, if we do chesed with each other, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch will do chesed with us. They made this treaty to do chesed, and that's how they were redeemed from Mitzrayim. Like it says, the Navi writes, Zacharti lo chesed norayich. I remember the chesed for your youth. Lech teichach rabba midbo. We understand the chesed was, Klal Yisrael went in the midbo. The Chofetz Chaim says, pshat is, the chesed of Klal Yisrael doesn't mean they went in the midbo. The chesed they did with each other in Mitzrayim. So one of the types of chesed they did, you could say, says the Bar Yosef, is that in the days of darkness, 4/5 died. That means every 4 families were left Yisraimim. Who is going to raise these Yisraimim? The other 5th of Klal Yisrael came along, and every one of those families took in 4 families of children. So everybody had 4 sets of children of the Yisraimim, plus they had also their own set of children. So it fits very good with the Targum Yonason. Everybody left, but Chamisha Taflin, with 5 children. Well, it doesn't mean 5 children, it means 5 sets of children. Everybody had when they left Mitzrayim. Fits the Rishalmi that says, they were armed with good deeds. That was the good deeds they were doing. Rashi means Chamushim. Rashi learns only 1/5 came out, 4/5 died in the darkness. So all the Pshatim fit together is the chesed the Klal Yisrael were doing. And the Sefer Chofetz Chaim LaTorah he brings down in the Maaseh HaMelech and the stories there. An unbelievable maisa. It's good to remember this story. Tremendous chesed to do chesed. That the Dubna Magid used to always take in at his house, aniyim, people who didn't have a place to be. The tremendous achnas arachim. One day he was in the marketplace and he sees there's a blind man and he's being led by a small child. This child was a yosem and didn't have a mother and they looked like they were lost, they had nowhere to go. The Dubna Magid took them in his home. And he looked after this blind man and his child. And sometime later, the blind man died. And now the Yosem was left alone. The Dubna Magid raised this child and hired good rabbeim for him. And this child grew up. And his name was Reb Shlomo Kluge. He grew up to become the Rav of Broidy, Reb Shlomo Kluge. So you see, with the chesed he did, unbelievable what came of it. We got Reb Shlomo Kluge from that. An unbelievable lesson in chesed, if you happen to be in the mall any time. And you see somebody wandering around Nebuchadnezzar, nowhere to go, it's good. Take care of the person. You never know who you'll produce. The Pasuk says, Don't be afraid. Stand still and you'll see the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ibn Ezra asks, why is it the Klai Yisrael are afraid now? What are they afraid of? There are 600,000 people here, of men. And Rashi learned at the beginning of the parasha, they're armed. So they've got their weapons. When they pull out their Uzis, the M16s, and turn around, take some grenades out and fight. What are they scared of? Is Ibn Ezra's kasha. The Ksav Sofer answers this question. He uses it to explain a medrash. There's a famous medrash you've probably heard that says, Hayom ro'o vayonis, the sea saw and fled. And the medrash asks, what did the sea see? And the medrash says, Aroina shel Yosef. The sea saw the Aron of Yosef, the coffin of Yosef. So what's the pshat in this medrash? So Ksav Sofer explains that when Yosef had the Maisa with Eishes Potiphar, the Rambam asks, why didn't he rip back his garment from her? When she pulled his clothing, he should have pulled it back. He was stronger than her. And the Rambam said, Akar Zatoiv. He lived in that house. He has to have Akar Zatoiv. He's not going to fight with her. Even though by doing that, she could have evidence against him. He was risking everything. But Yosef took on that risk. Why? Because of Akar Zatoiv. When Klai Yisrael came to the Yam Suf refuses to split. Why? You don't make my cynicism for nothing. Go fight. There's no reason to split. But then came along Aroini Shal Yosef. And so Aroini Shal Yosef, Yosef didn't fight against Eishes Potiphar. Why not? Hakar Zatoiv. Wow. Hakar Zatoiv is so extreme that even somebody who does bad to you, Eishes Potiphar, look what she was doing to Yosef. But Lamaisa, you lived in the house, you have to have Hakar Zatoiv. So that means Klai Yisrael can't fight against the Mitzrayim. They're entitled to have the sea split for them now. To go and fight on the planet. It's the pasuk tells us, Lo Yisasai of Mitzri. You're not allowed to despise a Mitzri. Ki Gero Yisabaratzoi. The Maisa, we lived there for a while. So Klai Yisrael couldn't fight. So when the sea saw Aroni Shel Yosef, the sea understood they had to split for Klai Yisrael. The pasuk says, Vayisam Malach Elikim. The Malach Elikim journeyed, Ha'olech that was going, Lifnei Machne Yisrael. The Malach that was in front of Machne Yisrael, Vayelech, this Malach went, Me'achareim behind them. So what is the pshat? That the Malach in front moved behind them. There's a shortage of Malachim in Shemaim. There's myriads of Malachim. There's no shortage. Why did he have to move around? Just send a new Malach there. Also, it's difficult to understand that Rashi says that the Loshna is Malach Elikim. Midas Adin. There was a Midas Adin at that time. Why is the Midas Adin at that time? Because Halolov David Azor, Valolov David Azor. They're no better than Mitzrayim. That's why the sea didn't want to split. That's why the Malach, no Malach wanted to come. There was a Midas Adin there. So what happened in the end? Why did the Malach in front move behind in the end? What changed? So you can understand the pasuk like this. The Gemara Makkos Daf Yud says, Bederech She'odom Roitzei Leilech Moilich Noisei. The way a person wants to go, they take him. Moilich Noisei, they take him. Who is the they take him? The Marsha explains that when a person does a mitzvah, we all know that that creates a malach. The Marsha says, not only doing a mitzvah creates a malach, the Gemara here is being mechadish, that the will, the rotzen, a person wants to do a mitzvah, that creates a malach. Therefore, ba'odom sheroitzei leilech, you want to go and do a mitzvah? That creates malachim now. Moilich noisai. Those malachim will slap you to do the mitzvah. So now we have a malach of a mitzvah and a malach of rotzen of a mitzvah. The malachim over here had a problem. They had a problem. What's chusda Klai Yisrael have to be saved? Why should we protect Klai Yisrael? They weren't the first to ask this question. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parashat Shmos, asked the same question. He asked, what's chus to Klai Yisrael have? And HaKadosh Baruch answered, Tavdon Elikim Halahar, they will serve Hashem on the mountain. There's going to be a Matan Torah. So Klai Yisrael have a chus of Matan Torah. What's that for now? Now they have that chus, that's in the later. What do you see from this? They're using this chus of later for now. What we see over there is, we could invent a new type of malach. There's a malach of a mitzvah, a malach of rotzen of a mitzvah. as a new malach, a malach of a mitzvah of the future. You can take a malach on credit. They've got schus in what they're going to do in the future. So you can teach the posuk. Vayisa malach elikim. The malach elikim traveled. Ahoydach that was going lifnei malach Yisrael. It doesn't mean in front of them physically. It means in front of them in the future. That malach that they're going to be mekabel the Torah, that malach came back, came achrem, came back in time to protect them. That's a schus they had, and that's why, even though those are midas adin, they managed to find a schus for them, that they're going to be mekabel the Torah. In this week's parasha, you have a gematria from Shulayb Diskin, which is one of the greatest gematrias. It's an incredible gematria. You wonder how one could think of such a gematria like this. Please concentrate. It's worth focusing on. It's unbelievable. The Kashi asks a very obvious question, which you'll find in other places. And that is, we go through the parasha Zamon, and it describes the Mon. Vayikru Beis Yisrael Shmoy Mon, Vukazera Gadlovon, Vatamik Spich Bedvash. It describes the Mon. Then they're told to put it away for future generations. And they put it away, and then it ends off the parasha Zamon. Vnei Yisrael Ochlu Zamon. They eat the Mon, our boyim shana for 40 years, ad boyim until they came, and there is no shavis. And samon ochlu ad boyim and there is kanan. They ate them on till they came into Eretz Yisrael. And that sounds like the end of the parish of the mon. There's another posuk, very short posuk, four words. The ho'imer asir sa'ifahu. How much did they receive every day in oimer? How much is an oimer in asir sa'ifah? This posuk seems to be out of place. P.S. I forgot to tell you, a few psukim ago, we described the mon. And we forgot to mention over there the size of it. How much was it? It was not serious eifah. This pasuk would fit much better a few psukim earlier. Right when you finish the whole parasha, it puts in the P.S. at the end. It doesn't even say P.S. So what's the pshat over here? Why is this pasuk over here? It says Rav Shulayb Diskin. Rashi quotes a chazal over here, and it says they ate the mon for 40 years. Frank the Gemara, they ate them on for 40 years. It's missing 30 days. It started coming down on the 15th of Iyar. And it stopped on the 15th of Nisan. So he says, Magid they tasted it for, they had the taste of Mon. That's the beginning. And then at the end, Rashi says the same kasha again. They ate it till they came to Eretz Yisrael. He asked, but it stopped when Moshe died, Zayin Ador. When he stopped, answers, they used them on in their kelim. That lasted them until Shishas Benissan, till they came into Eretz Yisrael. Which means that lasted 40 days from Zayin Ador till Yudvav Nissan. It lasted them 40 days, the last mon. Okay, so now we know the last mon lasted them 40 days. You can ask an obvious question. They ate the last month for 40 days. That's okay, we can understand that. But the Torah writes, they ate the month for 40 years. And we know, ein achila p'chusa mekazayis. An achila has to be exayis. How is it possible they ate the month for 40 years if the last month lasted them for 40 days? And to call it achila has to be at least exayis. So Shulayb Diskin says, that's what the Torah is coming to answer over here. Right at the end, after it says they ate it for 40 years, you're going to ask the question, how could they eat achila as the last and the last one for 40 days? Says the pasuk, no problem. V'oima asirus ha'efahu. An oima was a tenth of an efah. How much is an asirus ha'efah? 43 beitzim. In 43 beitzim is 86 kazesim. In 40 days, how many sudas do you eat? Two sudas a day is 40 sudas. In 40 days, there are six Shabbos. So you have on Shabbos three sudas and Shabbos. So that means in 40 days, a person eats 86 sudas. So the Oymah Asir Sefer, how did they eat a gazayas for each meal to call it an achila? Because they ate it for 40 days. And since an Oymah is an Asir Sefer, it's 86 gazayasim, there was exactly one gazayas for each meal. So it works out perfectly. This week's parasha, Shabbos Shira. Shira begins, Oz Yosher Moshe. The Medrash says, Oma Moshe, Be'oz Chatosi, I sinned with the word oz. Or ba'oz, ani yoyim shira. With oz, I'm going to say shira. How did Moshe sin with the word oz? Or may oz bossi ledabel paroi. He complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From when I came to paroi, here in Omazer, things got worse. Why did you send me? Complained to the Rabbani Shloim in Parsha Shmois. So now he's saying shira with the same oz. And the question is pretty obvious. Did Moshe say oz yoshe Moshe? I don't think so. Oz yoshe Moshe, the Torah writes. Moshe began Ashir Lashem. So ba'oz chatosi, ba'oz l'mishir. What does it mean? And besides, even if he would have used the word oz. Well, so you say the word oz, that's like a tikkun on it because you use the same word. It's because they're shava. How does it work? So he says, when a person says shira takodesh baruch hu, they have a hatzolah. There's two ways you can give shira takodesh baruch hu. Most people give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person was sick and they get better. You know what they're thankful for? They're thankful they got better. But it would have been better if they didn't have the problem in the first place. They suffered so much. They remember all their suffering. Thank you for saving me, they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they're not so happy and not excited about the suffering they had. But there's a higher madriga of recognizing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does suffering, there's a purpose to the suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything bad to a person. There's a purpose. And Moshe complained to the Rabbi Nishleidim. But then he realized now there was a purpose in that being in Mitzrayim. He realized that without Golus, there's no Geula. To see what Klal Yisrael see, to have learned Emunah and Bitochen from a Kriyas Yamsuf, from the Makkos, from what they saw in Mitzrayim, that he saw that this is what created me Klal Yisrael they are. Our whole Emunah is built on Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. And he saw there was a purpose. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was really saying is, Ba'oz Chatosi, what I complained about, Ba'oz Chatosi doesn't mean the word Oz, that concept I was complaining about. I was complaining you made things so different, so difficult for Klal Yisrael. Ba'oz Ani Yomishira, I'm saying Shira not just on the salvation we're having now. I'm saying Shira on the Torah that we had, I understand even that had a purpose also. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh asks a question, is what was the big fuss that Moshe split the sea? This is like one of the biggest nisim. And we see Kosher Lezavik Zvugim Kriyas Yamsuf, how to make a shidduch like Kriyas Yamsuf. What's so difficult about a Kriyas Yamsuf? So you'll say, you can't do it, I can't do it, it's quite difficult to do. But you look at the Gemara in Chulin Dav Zayin, and there you see Pinchas Ben Yoyeh was on his way to do Pidyon Shvuyim. And there was a river blocking him. So he told the river to split. And the river made a little trouble for him. So he threatened the river. If you don't split, and no wood will ever cross you forever. And the river split. And then there was somebody with him, told the river to split again. Three times he split the river. So what's the big deal now? Why is it looked at such a major event, a Kriyas Yamsuf? Why is it called so difficult in Chazal? So you could say, pshat is, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, it says all the rivers in the world split. It doesn't mean literally at that moment every river split. What it means is it gave in the Bria that koyach, a river can now split. It made a dotted line in every river. Now it's easy to split. The dotted line is there already. So now, once it had happened to Kriyas Yamsuf, it was easy to split. That's a simple way you could learn. Aruch Haim HaKadosh says a fascinating pshat. He's a sadistic pshat. He says, yeah, Kriyas Yamsuf is a very difficult thing to do. At the time, it was difficult, because that was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, do a miracle like that is hard to do. But Pinchas Ben Yoyeh had the Koyach of Torah. With the Koyach of Torah, it's no big deal. Somebody who has the Koyach of Torah can do this. It's not hard at all. So that's why Pinchas Ben Yoyeh was easy to do. The Galus was, without Torah at all, to be able to split the water. That was the Koyach, that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do. And that was the difficulty. Chabs.